am. All right, hold on.
I am.
Hold on.
I am 70% hermit, 30% crab, and I will get to you in a pinch.
I thought that was good. I'm proud of that one. Leave me alone.
Just like Jersey casting rumors, don't believe anything I say for the next 6 months.
Oh my God. I really didn't know how I felt about talking about New Jersey, but in that moment, I got inspired. I'm not going to lie to you. At that point, I was like, oh, you know what? I'm actually a little excited.
I live to inspire.
You truly do. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. I'm so excited to have a return guest in the cloth. You know him as the director of social for entertainment at Betches Media, host of Mention It All, and creator of Bravo by Betches. I call him Sweet Baby Dill. Welcome back to Andy's Girls, SBBD, also known as Dylan Hafer.
Yay! Thank you for having me. Just for the listeners, for the AGs out there. Sarah didn't tell me that we were going to record two separate episodes. So that tagline was thought of while I'm sitting here in the cloffice as Sarah was like, I have mine already written down. I'm like, good for you.
Okay, I did. So I forgot to tell you.
That I would have prepared two separate taglines anyway.
Neither would I. I had that one, but that we just recorded an episode talking about Summer House. I had the one that I just read that I hadn't finished, but I didn't have the other one. So
that was good. You did math. 70-30.
You know what? Thank you. And I didn't have to really think about it. That's how smart I am.
I love that.
That's how smart I is. So There we are. Listen, it's a steamy day here in New York City. We're recording two episodes. We just had a quick mini episode that was, I think, approximately 80 minutes long. So I want to take a little journey with you to Franklin Lakes. Words today.
Franklin Lakes.
Can't talk. I was about to call it Franklin Wood, and I don't know why. Listen, there's a lot going on. I'm just kind of curious as to how you feel the quality of the show is right now. Like, how are you feeling in watching the episodes? Are you feeling good, or are we feeling another option other than good?
I kind of am really enjoying this season.
For you. Oh my God, you just literally, I don't want video, but wish there was video for that moment. You just lit up like a light.
Okay, so the thing with Jersey is that it's like, do I think that we're what, 5-6 episodes into this season, something like that?
It's like 80, but yeah.
Do I think that this is an all-time great season of Housewives that I am like gonna revisit time and time again and show my children someday?
Sorry, that made me laugh.
Like, yeah, perhaps not.
It's not New York season 3. We're showing the grandkids New York season 3.
Right. Or like New York season 9 or even
7 and 8, honestly. Right. 8? Like, are you kidding me?
I don't know if this will
tell the cousins.
I don't know if this will be in the like oeuvre, but like, I'm not having a bad time. Week to week, I'm engaged. I am intrigued by some of the developments within the group. I think that like, some people seem not to be like seeing this, but like, I actually do feel like there are a decent number of new developments within the group. I don't feel like we're in a place of total like stagnancy. I understand there are some dynamics that seem maybe perhaps not feasible to continue down the road they're on right now. But like, I noticed a couple of weeks ago when the news broke that there would not be a traditional reunion this year, still TBD on what they're like cooking up for the end of the season, what that's going to look like. I felt like there was a wave that I saw of people on social media being like, throw the whole show away. This season is unwatchable. It's cooked. It's over. You know, whatever. And I'm like, I just don't feel like that's the season of Housewives that I'm watching. And maybe I'm like in the bag for Jersey too much or something, but I'm like, I think it's surprising to me that more than a zero number of people are watching this season and being like, it's trash, it's garbage, throw it away. Cause I just like that's not how I felt during any episode this season.
So is it that you don't feel like it's disconnected even though the cast is being kept separate? Or is the disconnection sort of interesting to watch play out?
I think a bit of both, but I would push back on the idea that the cast has been kept separate, because we've actually had several full group scenes or nearly full group scenes in the first handful of episodes. Because if you think about it, the premiere was Jen Fessler's birthday. All the women were in attendance. We had Nate Cabral's celebration of life at the shore that I believe everyone was at. Joe Gorga's birthday party, everybody but Teresa and Jennifer were there. Jennifer was invited and declined to come. There was the bougie brunch that Danielle had that I think everyone was invited to, that a couple people couldn't make it.
Yeah.
Like, over the course of the first handful of episodes, there were not a shortage of at least like 70% of group scenes. And I think that was something that, if it really was like, oh, we can never get more than half of the group in one place this season, I think that would be like danger zone. What are we doing here? But that was something when I had Jen Fessler on my show a couple weeks ago, and we talked about that, where I'm like, I feel like we're still getting a group dynamic here. It's just like, you know, it almost feels like Teresa and Jennifer are sort of like separating themselves in a way. Like the week when they were at the shore and it was Joe's birthday party, Teresa was back home getting Gabriella ready to go to college, which, like, fine, that's important. But then Jennifer was like kind of on an island, and because she and Bill chose not to go to the party, we got like a weird one-off scene of her playing whack-a-mole at the boardwalk with Olivia. And it's like, why are you doing this to yourself? Go to the party. Who cares? Make nice with Melissa. And then she did like 2 weeks later. So I don't know. I mean, I just feel like this season, like I said, it's not like an all-timer, but I also don't feel like it's an all-timer in a bad way.
Yeah, I think maybe, I mean, I am one of those people who was really upset when I found out the reunion was being canceled, because I just felt like, why then are you having this cast? If you know that they cannot do the basic job responsibilities, and why did you bring them back? Like, you're asking a lot of the audience to want to invest in this show when there's so much happening behind the scenes with the cast, and a lot of it is like really dark and gross. So why bring them back if they can't do this thing? Like, why are you expecting the audience to be more invested in this show than the cast might be, or that production wants us to believe?
Yeah, I think the big question mark is kind of this scene at Rails Steakhouse that is going to happen in the finale. That's
Last
like
Supper.
Dolores's, like, yeah, you know, come to Jesus dinner or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's going to be whatever the Chiron is going to say. I'm sure it'll be iconic. But like, I don't know exactly what is going to go down at that dinner. And it's certainly been teased that it's going to be, you know, very, you know, eventful and historic and maybe feel final in a way. I think that's what Andy said on the radio, where he was like, once you see that, it feels so, you know, like it kind of serves as a reunion in a way. And like, I don't, obviously, like, Andy has his own way of kind of teasing things and whatever. And I think, you know, he has a business that he's running. Not actually, but
yeah, he's the face of the business.
Yes, he needs to put a certain amount of spin on it, yeah, whether it's true or not. I'm, sure, whatever. So like, we don't know exactly where the season is going to end in that sense, but like, it does feel strange that it's like, after last season, I think from a fan perspective, it really felt like, okay, we have reached the bend in the road and there's a fork and we don't know which path they're going to choose. And they chose to just, I don't know, keep going straight and not make any of the turns. And like I said, I mean, I'm not miserable watching this season by any means, but like, there is a certain amount of like, you can only not address the elephant in the room for so long. And like, watching this season, it hasn't really bothered me that Teresa and Melissa aren't talking or fighting or interacting with each other. But I think, I mean, that's never going to go away as long as they're both there. And then there are, of course, other, you know, other like, you know, kind of ripple effects of that, where it's like, if Margaret then is not going to talk to Teresa, and then also Jennifer is not going to talk to Margaret, and then you have this like toxicity of who can be friends with who. And if Jackie's going to be friends with Teresa, then she can no longer be friends with Mark. Like, all of those kind of, like, you know, elements at play in the cast obviously then make it difficult to kind of, like, come together in any meaningful way. So it's tough. I mean, I think it makes me laugh thinking back to last reunion when Teresa was so adamant that it was like, Melissa's leaving the show. It's the last time I'm ever going to see it. Bye bye. And then, LOL, Melissa did not leave the show. Teresa doesn't send out the contracts. But, like, it is kind of like, okay, so then what is the plan? Like, not that every Bravo show needs to have, like, a 5-year plan with what's going on with the cast, but it does kind of feel like, okay, what's the, like, 1-year plan?
It's not even a year. It's like, what's the several month plan?
Right. Like, what is the plan for what's happening next? And I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, Andy, like I alluded to in my tagline, Andy this week on the radio, there was like a rumor that had come out of like the reboot cast, who's safe and who's on the chopping block. And it was like Teresa and Dolores and Jen are obviously going to be asked back. And it's like
Teresa, Dolores and Rachel, I think.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But notably, Teresa was included in that group.
Yes.
And it's kind of like, I mean, I think I'm sure we've talked about before the amount of conversations we've had that it's like anytime you see like casting, quote unquote, news when a show is like not even halfway through its season, it's like that's never, maybe that's a conversation that's been had. That's never like actual information. And Andy kind of putting the kibosh on that, I think was, I'm glad he did, because frankly, spending the amount of time on social media that I do looking at Bravo stuff, I get sick of seeing people be like, did you hear? Melissa's fired. And I'm like, nobody's fired. They haven't done casting yet. And so like, I'm glad that now, hopefully, I mean, I'm sure people won't be chill for the next however long, but like, in theory, at least we can just like say that we don't know what we don't know. But I don't know. It feels like there were certain steps that could have been taken to not get us quite to this point.
Yeah, it felt like the production was maybe nervous about making them or couldn't afford the delay in which to be forced to make them. But they are kind of putting a lot of the pressure, I think, on us in some ways to just kind of like make this good or find an investment. But I know that like historically it's been Teresa Melissa, so I get it. I just don't feel that is, as you said, I don't think that's really the energy here right now. I think the energy that's kind of taking me out of it is like Teresa Marge. Mm-hmm. And I know that Rachel obviously had Rachel and John had a big role in the end of this week's episode, and certainly Rachel the end of last week's. But I'm like, these are two people who are so mad at each other, meaning Teresa and Marge do not want anyone in their friend circle to really mm-hmm. engage with the other person. There's so much darkness behind what we saw happen at last season's reunion that I'm just like, I don't know. Last season, I found a lot of value in it.
Yeah.
This season, there have been episodes that I've really enjoyed. But this most recent episode, it just kind of made me, if I'm being super, super honest, it made me a little uncomfortable. I was not super comfortable with how the episode ended, because production has made, the network, whomever, has made several choices that all seem based in, we should just like take this, but also have short-term memory. And while I do not remember what day of the week it is today, I do not have short-term memory loss with last season's reunion. And it's hard for me. Can we just be like super honest?
Do it.
Okay. You don't need to agree with this. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying that this is genuinely how I'm feeling. I'm super uncomfortable watching Louis on TV. I thought his behavior in that scene.
No, Rachel, I love him so much.
No, but like, I know that people are like, but he's not as bad as Joe Gorga. And I'm like, I can't, we can't go near it right now. I can't do it. He makes me very uncomfortable. There's something about him. There is a level of darkness to his energy and spirit. Mm-hmm. If you don't see it, God bless. I see it in abundance.
Yes.
And this man has such a vendetta against seemingly everybody on the face of the planet. He is dark. He is scary. He's concerning. This is all, I guess, allegedly an opinion.
It's like, allegedly concerning.
Like, I don't know. It takes me out. Yeah. I don't want an episode cliffhanger to be him doing like a weird Joker smile because he's cooking up how to completely ruin someone's life next. It's not good. It's affecting how I view Teresa. I am nervous for her, but also annoyed that because of her, I have to keep having this man on my television screen. It's very hard. It's hard when we have Teresa moments that involve her spouse because I'm so taken out of this by all the shit that's been said about this man that you don't need to agree with me that it's different than what's been said about any other man. And by the way, I'm of the type to like say talking about Louis being bad doesn't make another husband good, but his badness is such a different, specific, it's distinct. He makes me viscerally uncomfortable. So I don't care. I don't give a fuck about what dumb casting rumors coming out now, because I do think it's all stupid at the end of the day. But also, I cannot. I'm going to watch the rest of the season. Who are we kidding? But it really makes me uncomfortable to watch him because there is something about him that's so much worse than Juicy Joe ever was. And he's so much better at being bad than many other husbands on Jersey or other franchises have been. It's tough to watch him because he's for me, just my two shekels, he's very, very tough to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that we're supposed to at some point talk about like, oh, wow, Rachel and her husband, whose name is John, and I always forget it. Rachel and like Mr. Husband of Rachel and Teresa and Louis. And I'm just like, I get it. There's like stuff that we want to unpack. But yeah. We've reached a point here that is, to me, unrelated to Marge, although extremely related to Marge. And the Teresa stuff because of Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And when he stays on the show, it just makes me feel gross.
Yeah. And I think, you know, whoever is in charge of, you know, constructing who films what with who, I don't know if that's something that production feels like they have control over at this point or whether Louis is just always there. But like every episode, it feels like we have to have a scene that's Teresa at home and then she and Louis sit down to like recap what happened. And it feels like we're kind of like advancing the plot of like, you know, what are we going to do to like get these assholes? And can I just one moment of levity that I think is pretty funny. Multiple scenes this season, Teresa and or Louis are wearing merch for Teresa's now defunct podcast.
Yeah.
And as of this week, she has launched a new podcast that has different name and branding. So she's wearing like she's wearing like out of date merch. So she's like advertising for the thing that's not what she's doing anymore, which is just, it tickles me. but like, yeah, I think it's tough. And it feels like it feels like you sort of are like, you're taking the fun out of it in a way that when on these shows, I mean, something that I think is necessary for any long running, you know, ensemble cast kind of show is the ability to kind of like, you know, go through different friendship ups and downs and, oh, these two are close this season and then they're going to have a little falling out and then they're going to come back together and then maybe they'll, you know, team up for something else. And like, I think we were talking about Salt Lake offline earlier. And I think like that's something that kind of core cast of Salt Lake has there, maybe like the archetype of that. It's like, wait, sorry, who hates each other this season? It's the opposite of last season. And like, in a way that I think is healthy for a long running show. And with Jersey, I think because there is such a strong polarization with like Teresa and Jennifer and Margaret, and I think Melissa actually is like a little separate from that, it feels like people, other than maybe Dolores with her like Switzerland privilege, like she does, nobody else really has the permission or the ability to kind of float in the group. And we're seeing this season that it's like, okay, so Danielle is kind of suddenly persona non grata with Teresa and Jennifer, and she's kind of being traded to the other team. And then we're seeing Jackie and Jen Fessler kind of exist somewhere in the middle. Jackie seems to have gone a little bit further over to the other side, but Jen Fessler is just like, I don't know, trying to have a conversation with whoever, and it's being, you know, Rachel Fuda so hurt that she saw Jen hug Teresa at this party. And it's like, it to me is not indicative of a like healthy group with potential when people can't like have conversations with somebody else without it being, you know, this big thing that it's like, okay, well now we can't be friends because you're speaking to her.
Also, the show is about conflict. It's about conflict resolution, but it's about conflict. It's about friendship and fun and light and mozzarella cheese, but it's also about conflict. There's a level of anger that I'm seeing in like the house husbands, specifically that last scene with John and with Louis, that makes me uncomfortable. There's so much anger and rage and hate between these people. I don't want to see this on TV. I don't want to see it. It makes me uncomfortable. Obviously, these two couples are being forced to film together. They know it's not going to go anywhere. So I think it is, to a certain extent, they're just trying to like figure out a way how to either repackage their rage or just take it, sit on it for a couple minutes before they allow themselves to let it out. That's not fun TV for me. I don't really want to see men who look like this could be violent at a certain point. Like that's not fun. We've also experienced that on New Jersey, super unrelated to Louis, many generations before Louis, with Joe v. Joe. That was not Ohika Castle was not a great moment for the history books. Like when they were charging at each other, that opened up and was part of a very, very dark history on Bravo. And for whatever reason, I've been dipping into the archives. You know, I don't leave this world. It's God's touch. You know what I'm saying? Like somehow someone picks up a little remote control and they press play and I'm like, oh my God, where am I now? So I've been going through some great moments and some weird moments on New York, but mostly phenomenal. And also accidentally, I swear to God, I don't know if it was Peacock or YouTube TV. Someone led me this way and it was Teresa season 3. And I was like, please don't take me back to there because now I'm at a different point with Teresa. I can't go back. But it's like it feels like some of that energy is taking me out. And the irony here for me is like Melissa's not even really a part of it. Mm-hmm. It's really not Teresa v. Melissa. It's like Louis, but also Teresa with Rachel and John, but also Marge. I just don't want to go back there. It's so dark. It does not bring me joy to watch. People certainly have hated each other, have felt rage about each other, but been able to make good or at least interesting chaotic TV. I don't want to go back to season 3. I don't ever want to be there again. And we're there in a different way now.
Yeah. If anything, I mean, people will use this
season three, four.
People would use this against Melissa, but it's like, if anything, by not being super involved in the like heaviness this season, in a way, I feel like that helps her. That it's like, maybe, I mean, if you call her boring, if you say she doesn't bring anything to the show, whatever, but like, if they're looking at the casting puzzle and being like, who, you know, who's the sore tooth that needs to get pulled, like, Melissa's doing fine in whatever she's doing, and like, you know, maybe they'll decide that they would rather keep Teresa because Teresa's iconic or whatever, but like, I think there is something to be said for the fact that like sometimes you just need people who will show up and film and like not cause problems. And like you've said with Louis, I think that's not necessarily the vibe coming from the Ruelas Judice camp this season. But just talking about like the like fun and the lightness and stuff, like it makes me miss like Miami.
Oh my God.
Where it's like that group can be together and look, they might hate each other. There's a lot of yelling. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of anger sometimes. But I'm also like laughing so much every episode. And it's like when they were on that boat in Mexico City and it's like Gertie's having some health situation and, you know, other people are angry at each other. And then it's like Lisa just wants to find her lip gloss. And I'm like, this is such a goddamn mess, but I'm loving every second of it. And I think that sort of like funny, shady, but also conflict, but also drama, but also, you know, stressful, like all of those things can coexist. And I think they do. I think Orange County is another franchise where, like, over the course of now about to be 18 seasons, there have been so many moments on Orange County that are, like, heavy in a way, but also funny and also just, like, ridiculous. And it feels like with Jersey, like, I can't really imagine a full group scene where they're able to kind of capture that, like, kind of recipe of just, like, enjoyment to me.
I know I'm one of many people who struggles with the all or nothing fads. Juice cleanses, soup diets, keto, hours and hours of cardio. If this cycle sounds familiar to you, and it definitely does to me, there's a better, more sustainable way to lose weight. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And let's talk about the big O, obesity. 4 in 10 Americans struggle with it, so there should be no shame in the weight game. It's okay to talk about weight loss, and talking about it in a way that feels healthy. With Row, you can sign up online from the comfort of your own home. That's right, the people's couch. This means no scheduling a doctor's appointment, no commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andyscrolls. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ROW.co/AndyScrolls. Before being prescribed medication, patients must complete an online medical visit, lab test, and qualify for medication based on their BMI, lab results, medical history, and the discretion of a Row-affiliated healthcare provider. There is something wonderful about the change of seasons here in New York. No, not just upping my electrolytes when I go for a relatively short walk. It's the smell of summer grilling, especially for whatever reason, I don't know why, in the West Village. It's sort of my seasonal clock. When I start to smell people, that sounds crazy. When I start to smell summer grilling outside, I know summer is upon us. And listen, I can't dig into my veggie dog or veggie burger without some bread or buns. Just because it's summer doesn't mean you have to cut out all the carb-heavy foods you love. Hero Bread reinvented the bread and buns that make summer great. Fluffy, delicious flavor and texture with no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. For me, getting enough fiber and cutting down on sugar are key elements to feeling better throughout the day. Hero Bread also has mouth-watering limited edition bakes, like the popular 2-gram net carb Hero Croissant. As Luann would say, c'est bon, c'est bon. Keep the carbs out of summer without compromising flavor with Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co and use code Andy at checkout. That's Andy at hero.co. Now that the temperature is rising, and I don't just mean the heat coming between Lindsay versus Carl, it can be really difficult to get my hair under control. I have like this wavy, curly, frizzy, natural texture that I genuinely love, but it can be really difficult to find a product that works for my hair without feeling heavy and genuinely counteracts the frizziness that I get naturally if I don't blow out my hair. That's why I love Way. Whether your strands are fine, medium, or like mine, thick, Way has shampoo and conditioner that's your type. I love the detox shampoo because it does exactly that. It detoxes your hair. And because I am a spiritual blonde and do have some color processing, the shampoo helps clean away all the schmutz that accumulates, leaving my hair feeling lighter and better than it did before. God bless that apple cider vinegar. And yes, for that frizz, I rely on the anti-frizz cream. I put it in after I shower, do a little scrunch of my hair, and I'm good to go. Way keeps me looking like me, just a little bit elevated. Jesse Solomon, have you heard my call? If you want volume, Way's fine hair and conditioner will give you a lift without weighing you down. Not sure what your type is? Take Way's hair quiz to find out. Wash your way to healthier hair with shampoos and conditioners made just for you. Go to theouai.com and use code ANDY for 15% off your entire purchase. That's theouai.com, code ANDY.
Marge is very, very, very mad. Marge is very mad. I did like and enjoy the golf drive. I love a golf cart. If you gave me the option of doing literally anything, I don't even care what it is that involves a golf cart, I will be there hours prior, just ready to go. I mean, I really do love golf cart culture.
Okay.
So I do want to shout out all golf carts everywhere. And if you happen to live in a town where you get to drive a golf cart around your neighborhood, I cannot express to you the jealousy that I feel coursing through my veins at that idea.
Because okay, Toya.
That is literally like that is
not anymore, but
well, but maybe again. But like, got a great offer. Nothing's wrong. She got a great offer in the house.
The one season of Married to Medicine where she's like, I love playing tennis.
She still loves it.
Okay.
She does.
Okay.
I follow her on
not
social.
With Anila, I guess.
No, they're actually friends again.
Okay.
Anyway. Shout out to Married to Med. I love golf cart culture. That's the takeaway from this week. That's tough too. There's a lot of mad and upset that these people have chosen to remain in a situation that is not good. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to help them out of it. And the only reason I really care about helping them out of it is to help myself be more involved in it.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling, and I've enjoyed some of these episodes. I think it was just the fact that we ended with Louie I just watched the episode that got me in a little bit of a tailspin because I was like, I don't want this. And you're asking me to forget shit that we heard about on camera. This isn't even like stuff on social, but now the stuff on social has been a part of the conversation because maybe it affected the direction of a lot of the plot in a way that is not necessary and not good. It just, I want people who are, I can't say less invested in this show because we want people to be invested. I just, some of the sorcery behind mm-hmm. the scenes.
So that's like a good word for it.
Yeah. Thank you. It's just a little bit of like this like dark magic that I'm not.
Witchcraft going on.
There's some witchcraft going on. And while, you know, witches are great and stuff. Shout out Carlton. I'm not. It's really genuinely taking me out.
Yeah, we need allegedly like Jen and Jim Leonard to like step away from the cauldron.
And Teresa.
Allegedly.
And Louie.
Yeah. It's challenging. And I think something else, though, that's challenging is that when you think about if there's to be like even a partial reboot, shuffle, shakeup, whatever, thinking about like new people, it's like, okay, but then you look at this season and it's like we have these lovely ladies, Kayla and Tiffany, and over the years we've had others. Jersey, I think, is like a hard show to cast.
Yeah.
Because if you're in New Jersey, I think that there are a lot of people that you would see or meet and be like, oh, she gives housewife. But not everybody that gives housewife should be a housewife or would have what it takes to be a housewife. And I think that last season, I don't want to say they got lucky because obviously casting is
an art,
and there's going to be an Oscar for it next year. And I hope that, you know.
Oh, is there finally?
Yes, they're adding it.
Is there an Emmy for it?
Yeah, definitely.
There okay, good.
There's like a million Emmy categories. Actually, The Traitors won a reality casting Emmy for its first season.
Shut up!
Yeah.
Oh, well, they certainly deserve it for their second.
Yes.
Maybe not the third, but we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. Could be great.
Proof will be in the pudding.
True.
But like last season, for the first time since they added Jackie and Jennifer, their newbies worked. Mm. But if you go back and you look, it's like every season pretty much since Jackie and Jennifer joined, there's like a couple women that we maybe meet, that we maybe never quite hear from, that were like clearly sort of being tested. And like a lot of them have fallen on the cutting room floor. And like, if you look at the group photos from the season that the ladies are posting every week, it's like Kayla and Tiffany were invited to a lot of shit and their impact, big fat zero.
Who are they? I know we saw their faces.
They're, I think they're
the lower thirds,
I think they're both introduced as Danielle's friends, which is it's telling that they last season, obviously Danielle had a good first season.
She had an okay first season.
Yeah, I think Danielle, yeah.
She didn't like pop in the way that I thought.
As a collective group, I think she, Rachel, and Jen Fessler were a really strong group of newbies.
Totally agree.
That we really needed on this show. And so it's seeing those two women be introduced, I believe, as Danielle's friends, it's obvious that they're like, okay, we finally found something that works. Mm. Is there more in that? Well, Danielle, who are your friends? Send us the name. Send us the IG handles. And like that, unfortunately, doesn't always work because it's like everybody thinks they have 12 fabulous friends that would be amazing on the show. But like, that's not, it's not so simple. And so that's why there's an Emmy for it. And so
And an Oscar, apparently.
And so that's it's just something that makes me nervous about whatever impending cast shakeup is probably more likely than not in the cards, that it's like, would I rather watch a New Jersey that's three of the existing women and three or four 32-year-old brunettes that maybe are not interesting or maybe are going to be like a little too thirsty or whatever? Would I rather watch that than like what we have right now? And it's impossible to know the answer without knowing what is going to happen. But like, I don't know. Like I maybe I'd rather see Antonia go to college. Like it's tough to think about like what the actual alternative is versus like what the like imaginary perfect show is that like isn't actually going to happen.
Well, and also Jersey needs like a bloodline. There's always been Manzo, Lorita, Judice. Like there has always been some sort of family connection here.
Yeah.
And so to redevelop New Jersey, it's like, oh, okay, so is that generation done? The last 14 or so seasons, have we moved on from there being stakes as high as a family in conflict? Have we moved towards something else? Because if you're looking for families where you're not just looking for one housewife, you might be looking for two or three, the Wakilis and the Judy Jays, you know, like, and the Gorgas. There's so much here that's always been interconnected that it's like, okay, so are we going to get to a different kind of New Jersey entirely? Because we've been used to that for 13 seasons, 14 seasons. So next season, when it airs in 2093, are we now going to go back to maybe more of a classical Housewives, where it's a group of friends who somehow know each other and grew up with each other, but aren't necessarily connected as members of the same family? Because that's going to be, that would be very, very different from what we've had.
You know how this season should end? You know, it seems like they're shopping around for how to end a season without a reunion.
Well, apparently the finale is a reunion, well, according but to Andrew.
You know, they want to end it in a certain way. Pick up those cameras. Just arrive at Danielle's house. We hear
which Danielle?
Cabral.
Okay. I got nervous. Speaking of darkness. Yeah.
You know, she's getting Valentina in her little outfit. She's working hard on the bougie kids.
Now I feel better.
We hear on the door, it's her brother.
Or her dad. No, brother's better. The brother's better.
Because she's not on good terms with the dad because of the brother. We need the brother.
And the wife. Who gives a shit about the brother?
The brother and the wife. That's your family bloodline. And look, I'm not saying that
it would be very much like Joe Gorga. Joe Gorga was not meant for TV the first couple seasons. Yeah. So it's okay if Danielle's brother is not as well, because we can work with that.
A little rough around the edges, but yep. I'm sure, like, call the wife now. She can start getting her extensions and everything together. I'm not saying that necessarily that Danielle and her brother and the wife are going to have the juice in the tank that the Gorgas and Judices and everybody else
had.
And
also the Judy Chase.
We love them all. But like, that we could get a season out of that. And at this point, it's like, put one foot in front of the other, get the brother, get the wife. I mean, was it not when Danielle came on the show last season and within the first few episodes, we hear about this like big rift in her family and the brother and the wife. It's like, It's like Chekhov's gun. It's like, do you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're not familiar, it's like in, if you're watching a play or a movie or something and there's like a gun, sooner or later, it's got to go off.
Yeah.
The brother and the wife.
Cherry Orchard.
Yeah. They got to show up.
Cherry Orchard and Franklin Lakes.
They got to.
Yeah.
On the door.
Yeah. I love that. Chekhov's gun.
And Danielle, she shouldn't know that they're coming.
I'm like laughing so hard. It's gonna sweeping.
And look,
yep, she
Teresa
it.
Not knowing that yep, Joe and Melissa were joining the show. It gave us 11 years.
And this is the worst part.
We're it's still like hearing about it.
Someone's coming for your job, and they're your family, and you already hate them. And now they're coming for the thing that is yours. You are the shining star. Whose tutu is going on New York Fashion Week with those kids? Like, you're the one with the 6-year-old with the dream. Like, mm-hmm. this is my brother cannot seek revenge by taking what is mine and what is publicly mine. Mm-hmm. So let's watch that play out.
I mean, I have to imagine that is something that they are thinking about. I don't know if they are as, you know, diabolical as I apparently am, but like, you know, if they're casting a net, the brother and the wife have to be in the net, right? Like, or at least in the.
I don't know.
Do they live in Jersey? I don't even know.
They'll move. Honestly, they'll move.
They're like looking at school districts as we speak.
And I don't know what production is thinking about with casting. I really don't know. I don't know that they're having, as odd as this is, they might just be like, we're just trying to survive it right now. Like, yeah. They're just trying to get through it. They know what we do not, which is whatever happens at the finale. Some sort of huge eruption, which I do think involves Teresa and Melissa, does it not?
I don't know if it involves Teresa and Melissa.
It involves everyone, maybe.
I don't know if it involves like Teresa versus Melissa. Yeah. I think they are both involved.
I think it might be versus at a point, but obviously a lot of dishes are thrown. It's not just the two of them. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some stuff happening.
And I think, I mean, more likely than not, we're going to be looking at a little bit of a hiatus after this season.
Yeah.
Because, you know, clearly that's the way that Bravo has been trending when they have these shows that they feel like they need to kind of get under the hood and like do some work on. They're not trying to turn that around in 6 weeks from reunion to filming starting, which, you know, is probably for the best. But like, I don't know, like, they have some time to figure it out. Obviously, this season is going to air and it's going to be what it's going to be. But like, I do wonder kind of like, you know, they're filming this new season of Atlanta right now. There have been kind of like some weird
talk about
reports about how well or not well it might be going. I don't know. And like, I think it's like looking back now, it's like, okay, that like Roni reboot panned out kind of best case scenario, I guess. Like, it could have been really, really bad. And like, it just made, I think like the idea of rebooting shows or doing like big cast shakeups is, I think sometimes we think of it as like a great solution to a show that's not working. And it's like, it's a real roll of the dice.
I also think there seems to be a total misunderstanding of what is good TV. And it's like from the network to production to the cast to the audience. And if there is truly not a line, and we have grown as an audience in the last 15 or about 15 plus years, stuff that may have been acceptable 15 years ago is not acceptable now. And yet we're sometimes going off of the record of like, well, we need to build upon this thing. We need to go darker and darker and darker and darker. That to me does not necessarily make good TV. And at least TV that... I want there to be stakes here, and the stakes can't just be like basic spiritual survival. There seems to be allegedly something happening in Atlanta with Kenya, and I don't know why
one of
she
the
would.
New women, yeah.
I don't know why she would choose to do whatever the fuck she did in her place of business. How bizarre. Is that? It's such a
weird
way of trying to get attention, but it is. It's the call to attention. How much attention can I get on myself? I have decided and defined, maybe based on the success that I have as a housewife or just how I'm feeling, that this is the way that I'm going to make a moment and or seek revenge. And there are just certain things that, again, probably happened on Housewives prior, probably was met with a certain amount of like, good for you, this is great TV, that just doesn't necessarily fit the bill for some of us anymore.
Yeah. And I think at the very least, if there are going to be those intense elements, like, you have to have balance. Like, it's not, I don't want to watch 16 episodes of a season that is like gets just down this spiral of like darker and darker and darker, and like nobody's having any fun. Like, we need whatever happened to fun. Like, there has to be kind of that, like, you can't go past the point of no return with the darkness that you can't also then enjoy yourself or have like a fun scene with the kids or, you know, a silly argument about something. Like, I think that's like, I'm intrigued to see kind of with Orange County this season, like all of the different like storylines that we already know are going to be at play, but still watching that trailer, it feels like there is still that thread of like, we're laughing on the slip and slide at somebody's house. And like, I don't know, like I obviously, like, I'm speaking about a season that I haven't seen yet, but like, it just feels like maybe that like compass of what the right kind of, you know, calibration is not working in every city.
Yeah. And it felt like last season was a true return to form, which is honestly something of a for fucking OC, miracle. Yeah. Definitely for OC. And I just, I don't know how the network is defining winning and losing, but I think that some housewives and spouses or who maybe showrunners, I don't know, are taking it into their own hands. And if you do not, it's like Andy at these reunions, obviously he's the moderator, he's the voice of the audience, maybe he's the voice of a housewife, someone that whose voice he needs to hear more of or too much. But he's also a little bit of like a kindergarten teacher where he's like, okay, you guys are acting up too much, calm the fuck down so that we can continue, because this is a combination of like learning how to draw and recess, and sometimes it can be a little much. And I just wonder if we're going off of the kindergarten strategy, at any point were any of these people given a timeout? Like, yeah. After last season of New Jersey, was there ever a conversation of like, listen, love what you're doing, but like, we need to have a little bit of a time at tea out, sit down, nap time,
yes,
over some of the stuff, because maybe that's not great. Maybe we're not being great neighbors and friends the fellow people in the class. I get the sense that that didn't happen, and this is the result of that.
You know what I just saw the other day that that really feels like exactly the kind of thing that we're maybe talking about?
Kindergarten Cop.
A little video of one Giselle Bryant giving Wendy Asefo a hug.
Yep.
And they were together with Ashley at somebody's birthday party.
Presidential Medal of Honor. Yep. She gave her a hug.
And I'm like, okay, so somebody was spoken to. Somebody got their little ultimatum, or they're talking to from production. Maybe their timeout. Maybe their kindergarten, you know, slap on the wrist. But like, I think that was something with Potomac this past season that was like, there were multiple different relationships in the group that were at such a place of absolutely not, door is closed, that it's like, this is not a tenable situation. And like, obviously, you know, jury is very much out on how Potomac is going to work this coming season. But the fact that Wendy and Giselle are willing to give each other even the time of day is certainly not where we were last season. And I'm like, I would not be surprised if that didn't happen on its own, kind of.
Yeah, and last season of Potomac had one of the worst seasons of all time.
Yeah.
Luckily, that happened to an excellent, otherwise excellent franchise. So, like, their ability to maybe turn this around is, to me, realistic. Similar to Orange County having some of the worst seasons, like with the fucking Noella season, apologies, but like Noella and Dr. Jen, that was a bleak moment in terms of chemistry with the rest of the cast.
Noella, like, guttural sobbing at that creek in Aspen.
Can't do it. Can't go back to it. And then dating that guy at the reunion and doing the weird thing that we've seen other housewives do of like, how did you know I was dating someone? Oh, because I told you right before.
you know what's funny is like, I feel like there are certain like one and done housewives or like short-term housewives that people will like die on the hill of like, she was actually kind of iconic, or like they should have brought her back. People do it with the twins from New Jersey. I've noticed.
Whoever did that?
No,
Reno?
I have heard multiple people be like, season six, like, yeah, it sucks, but like, I think they were like,
they were onto something.
It was like they got more hate than they deserved. You're like, they should have, you know, whatever. But like, people do it with Noella too, where they're like, Noella should have got a second season. It's so fucked up that they fired her. And it's like, okay, but like, look at the season we got after, and like, tell me that Noella was necessary there. She wasn't.
I also think with some of the like content creators who do that, it's also just like opportunity and access of like at a certain point you have decided, or maybe this person has just been most interested in reaching out to you, that you're like, this is my queen. And it's like, okay, sweetie, have you watched the episodes? Don't care. She's still my queen. This is still my court. And it's like, okay, got it.
Let's just say that. Like Liz Vargas is very available. She'll like and comment on anything. It's like, I mean, it's like the Dana Wilkie syndrome where it's like, oof, it's like
not a good game night.
Yeah. It's like, okay, this didn't work for you, but like 10 years later, you still want to be like available on speed dial. It's like, okay, somebody's going to call. It's not going to be Andy Cohen, but like,
no, but you can make it into an economy. Why not? Why not have a former cast member, friend of, or whatever the fuck she was, put her $25,000. Hopefully that wasn't stolen from people in an insurance fraud. Can you believe? I just, listen, I have enjoyed episodes of New Jersey this season. Yeah. I feel a certain amount of guilt that I didn't like come out of that episode being like, oh my God, that last season scene was iconic, but I was distracted. And to a certain extent, I'm just going to say it. I don't think that's entirely my fault. You guys had this weird fucking thing that like happened at last season's reunion. If anything was done and said and people decided not to listen, that should be a fireable offense. If you're saying don't go dark and you can't handle not going dark, stuff is happening on New Jersey that I actually first initially with like the rumors of dealing with content creators and stuff, I was like, oh, is that a big deal? Like I didn't know that it was a big deal. People, fellow creators were like, no, this is a big deal. I was like, oh, I really didn't know because I'm so outside of that that I, you know, it's just not, that's not why I watch Housewives, is to get involved in that and just... It's just, I don't love this. And a lot of it's not my fault.
Well, I think with the...
I might have bad taste with some stuff, but I don't know.
With the Teresa and Louis stuff, it feels like we are specifically being sort of like expected to like eat some shit. Yeah. Where it's like, no, like you're... The stuff with her and Jackie, where Teresa and Jackie, where it's... Jackie and Jen too, where it's like, oh, we've gotten along since 2018. And it's like... literally false. Like, that's not true. We've watched the show. And then talking about in the scene where Jackie goes over to Teresa's house in the most recent episode, and Teresa's like, yeah, like we always could have got along. Like, I just wanted you to stand up for yourself. And Jackie's like, yeah, you're right. Like, it's like, what are you talking about? Like, what happened to season 11 Jackie where it's like, fuck you for spreading a rumor that my husband is cheating on me? Like, it feels like we're sort of in this like la la land of, oh yeah. And then Teresa's like, they're talking about how she and Jen are just like so much lighter and like more easy breezy than the rest of the cast. And it's like, okay, like I'm not saying like being friends with Margaret is necessarily like the world's biggest walk in the park, but like being friends with Jackie or with Jen and Teresa is like, like, what are you talking about? And to hear, it feels like Teresa's kind of doing the same thing with Rachel and John that she did with Jackie in season 11, where it's like the whole thing with the rumor about Evan cheating, where she was like, oh, well, I heard somebody saying it and I said it. So like, I didn't start the rumor. Like, I had nothing. It wasn't my thing. She's doing the same thing with the rumor about John being the biggest drug dealer in Bergen County. Is she's like, oh, it's not my, like, I don't know, it started somewhere else and then I just said it and I'm not going to say who said it because that's not my thing, but like, why are you mad at me? And it's like, we're on the hamster wheel and it's frustrating. And then I also just like don't care enough about the rumor to really be that
I don't
amped
care
in the other
so
direction
much about that rumor. I forget what he does for a living. I'm sure being called a drug dealer, it may or may not be great for your job or whatever, but probably so is being on this show. So maybe that evens out. I really don't know. I could not care less.
Yeah. So I think it's like, I don't like or agree with the way that Teresa is like doing her business, but then I also can't get that mad in the other direction because I'm like, at the end of the day, like, who cares?
I think probably the TLDR is like, you're coming for me and you're pretending that you're not. Yeah. And I hate you for that. And also, if you've already done stuff maybe around my family, except his ex-wife is saying she wasn't contacted. But I think his follow-up is like, why are you trusting? Am I supposed to trust this person?
And yeah.
It's weird. The Jackie of it all. What happened to Jackie. I'm okay with Jackie switching teams, but Jackie's not an idiot, and I feel like she's trying to tell us that she is. And it's a weird turn of events for someone who proudly talked about like having a law degree, is an accomplished author. Not that you need to have a law degree or write stuff to be considered smart. I mean, the street smarts is what is confusing to me.
Yeah.
And I do actually understand her argument of like, Margaret's a lot of negativity. She's coming for me. You guys are not. You guys seem like light. It seems a lot easier. I think on its face, being friends with Teresa, there are obviously a lot of strings, but we're not talking about those strings. We're just talking about like having fun, having a laugh. I believe aspects of that when Jackie is like, this is fun. But now with all the other stuff that's going on about like what maybe we're doing to influence plot and conspiring with people, what's worse? Not to say that Marge isn't also doing that, but like it, because it's entirely possible that she is. I don't know. Jersey is so dark. It just, when we're talking about the light and who's providing it, are we going to talk about the cost of that at a certain point?
Well, I also think it's like I'm
seeing a shadow
with Jackie. I think it's like I think she thinks that it's like mutually beneficial because for
it has to be
because for her. She was not really a major factor on the show for the last season. And then
she got demoted.
She got demoted and she's still demoted this season. But the fact that she is like, you know, causing a stir by going to the other side is like objectively giving her more attention. But then also Teresa and Jennifer, like they need numbers in this cast to a certain extent. I mean, I think in a smaller way, I think that's partially why we're seeing the Jen Fessler stuff with them this season too. But like with Jackie in particular, it's like they don't have a lot of friends. I mean, Danielle is decamping to team Melissa as we speak and team Rachel. And it's like, it just feels like with Jackie, it's like, why do you want to be friends with them? But also don't you realize that they are only kind of extending this olive branch because they need to, but then also I guess Jackie kind of needs it too, so like if she wants to be on the show. So it's, I don't know, it just is like it I mean, it does just feel so purposeful in a way that is not like fun TV, but I don't know.
I have enjoyed episodes this season. I'm gonna say that over and over again like a goddamn mantra. I just ending it in the way it is, there's to a certain extent, I have to do some sort of suspended reality to talk about this stuff and not cycle around what we watched last season and what we're hearing about online. I do just want to focus on what's on TV, but some of what's on TV is really bleak. After watching Lala and Sandoval's behavior on the Vanderpump Rules reunion, I developed such an intense thirst. I guess it's contagious when you're talking about Vanderpump Rules. So thank goodness for Fiji Water. Fiji Water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the United States. It has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH, and unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. In fact, Fiji Water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two, giving it signature soft, smooth taste. As someone who has spoken on the pod time and time again about the importance of having electrolytes, especially this summer, Fiji fits into my lifestyle so well. Before going on a little bit of a stroll, just a short one in these warmer summer temps, I grab my Fiji Water and I am out the door. Unlike some other premium bottled waters in the market, there's no ingredient statement on Fiji Water because there's nothing added to the water itself. Fiji Water is Earth's finest water. And as someone who's currently deep in the throes of watching Bravo's Finest Television, also known as Summer House, I know that having Fiji Water by my side is keeping me hydrated and refreshed. So Lala, take that. I was sort of bewildered by the Dolores Pauly conversation. What was your reaction to that?
Well, it's strange to me because, look, I totally understand. If you've been with this guy for however long, you don't love that he's not divorced. Like that, to me, I get it. But like, I don't, like, Dolores has said that she doesn't feel like she needs to be married again, or that she like is in this relationship just to get a ring, whatever. But then like, it kind of felt like this past episode, it was like a switch flipped or something, where it was like, well, I wouldn't be mad about a big ring. And it's like, wait, sorry, I thought that was like not really something you gave a shit about. So I don't know. I mean, like, I, you know, I want Dolores, Queen Dolores, to just like be the happiest anybody's ever been. And so whatever, it just, it does feel a little bit like I'm not, I don't care that much about like Polly. So it's a little bit like, okay, like, yeah, I mean, like, you should probably go finish your divorce, but then also like, is there an issue? Is there an actual issue here? Or is it like, we need something to talk about when we film our scene?
I don't, I think Dolores has always wanted to be married. I think we saw that with David. I think she's trying to say, I don't really care, it's chill, maybe at points, but she does want to be, she wants that commitment. She wants that traditional, like, I don't want to overcommit without that ring. She is, to me, consistent in that way, but he does not want to get divorced. And to a certain extent, to me, it like doesn't matter why. He's telling you he does not want to do this thing. At a certain point, are you going to believe him? Like, if he's telling you he doesn't want to do this thing and he's putting it off, I know it matters. It quite literally does matter why that is, but also the result is going to be the same. And now, on top of the fact that he's not doing this thing, he's producing a level of like frustration about her asking, which I think is weird, because I do not think Dolores has changed in this. He's just trying to kind of extend maybe a little bit of a delay as much as possible and somehow make that her fault. But I come back to, like, for whatever reason, he does not want to get divorced. Are you okay staying with him? Is it because he's telling you, like, what you think, I'm going to get divorced the next day, I'm going to, you know, get on one knee? I don't understand why you wouldn't. Like, well, if why
not? That was, I think that was why, what I was kind of saying about, like, is this just you needed something to like have some conflict about so your scene wouldn't get cut from the episode? Because like, it did, I don't necessarily think that that's the case, but I think just because it did sort of feel like, where is this coming from? Like, where is this like weird tension between you guys? Like,
it felt weird.
It felt just like a little bit random. And like I said, I hope that Dolores is so happy. If she wants a ring, she should get a ring, and Polly should, you know, get divorced either way. But like, it just is kind of like, oh, okay, I, you guys have drama now? I got, oh, okay.
Because they could technically get engaged. I mean, look at Gretchen and Slade. They got, they've been engaged for 45 years.
A ring don't mean a thing.
A ring don't mean a thing. And Gretchen and Slade, I think, both knew that they were never getting married because of his medical debt and not wanting to transfer that to Gretchen or maybe pay it at all. With what's going on now with Dolo and Polly, I'm like, first off, I'm not loving how he's speaking to her about this.
Do you think he's not telling her the truth?
When she was like, I think.
I don't think you're not telling me the truth.
Too bad I already used the Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, because I would love to revisit it for this, for the subtitle. Yeah, It made me feel a little sad for Dolo. You shouldn't. She's a great woman. I'm sure he knows that. It's not her fault that she keeps asking for this thing, but it seems apparent that for whatever reason, he doesn't want to give it to her. And I don't think it's like, maybe he has a ring in his back pocket and he just doesn't want to talk about it because he's got some stuff going. Like, I don't know that this is like the Stassi and Beau situation of like, sweetie, unbeknownst to you, this man is going to propose tomorrow. So when you're yelling at him about not proposing, it's like,
yeah,
babe.
I think it's the kind of thing where, like, I don't know how important it is to her that to have a ring by a certain time or whatever.
It's really important.
Right. But I'm saying, like, however important it is.
Yeah, regardless.
I hope that they are on the same page and that he knows that. And that he knows what matters to her so that he doesn't fuck around. You know, like, that it's like, if that's what she wants, if that's really, like, what it matters to her, then, like, he better do it. Or he better get out while he, before, you know, whatever.
He needs to tell her it's not going to happen. She needs to decide whether or not being married is a deal breaker. I
completely understand if it is, and yeah. I understand if it isn't, but he needs to stop saying like this is a unless it really is like allegedly is like bajillions of dollars. I don't know about the situation with the ex-wife. I don't know about how all this gonna, you know, difficult divorces have taken place. It wouldn't be the first one in history that takes a minute, but we need to have a conversation about that, because obviously there's a level of animosity that he feels about being asked this over and over again. But also, if you keep extending the timetable here, and it Dolores has to be the one to ask about it because you're not producing updates.
Right. It would be helpful for him to maybe say like, I mean, again, maybe he doesn't want to, and that's why he's not.
Maybe but he doesn't want to on camera.
But if he said like, stay tuned before the end of the year kind of thing. And then she's like, okay, 6 months. If something doesn't happen in 6 months, then you... and you don't have a reason for it, then you have, you know what you need to know. But then it's not like, oh my God, is it going to be next week? Like, then you at least have like an expectation kind of to manage.
I just don't love the conversation of like, Dolores, why do you need this?
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's not on her to answer. She doesn't have to answer you to about that. I really don't think so. Maybe right, that's wrong of me, but I'm like, she wants it.
You're two grown adults who are in a relationship. Right. You should be able to talk about what you both want and need. And if that doesn't match up at a certain point, then thank you for your time. And we'll see you in another life. Like,
she gets to decide if she really needs it. But if she needs it, she needs it. End of story. She understands what is quote unquote at risk here. I think I just don't love. I didn't love seeing that tension between them, because to me, that wasn't like produced for TV. That was like real. And I felt kind of bad because I'm like, I know these people love each other. I don't dislike Paulie. Mm-hmm. And I obviously love and adore Dolo. I know that there's a lot of love here and commitment, but she needs something specific. And if he really cannot give that to her or doesn't want to, she needs to be told that, like, for whatever reason, which maybe we won't talk about on camera, I am not going to be getting a divorce. It could be business stuff. It could be money stuff. There could be something else going on we have no idea about. But like, don't lead her on. We watched David for 1,836 years. I just don't want to see her in that position again.
Amen.
Listen, Dil, we recorded for 16 hours. I wish I could say that like Jersey was great. It's a little Sonia Rita with the Morgan letters of okay. Like, you thought it was going to be this great moment, and watching the end of the episode says the universe to me, and I'm like, nope, something about this isn't right, and I'm getting a little triggered in a little way, and I'm kind of spiraling. So it is what it is. We're watching what we're watching, and I'm here to chat. You know what I'm saying at the end of the day?
Oh my God, do you like to chat?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes my words are fun, the way I like loop them together and stuff. Mm-hmm. And sewing some of these sentences together. It's a craft. It's a yarn. Dil Hafer, SBBD.
Yes.
Can you tell the AGs where they can follow you on social? It feels a little energetically like a to be continued, and we literally recorded two episodes for 18 hours this afternoon, but maybe that's where we are with New Jersey. Maybe it's a like,
yeah.
And next week will be great. This is just how this week happened.
Yes.
Isn't that life?
It's just like life. And you can...
just like life. You can follow me on Instagram.
You can follow me on Instagram at Dylan Hafer. Follow at Bravo by Betches. And you can listen to the Mention It All podcast 3 times a week wherever you get Andy's Girls.
Guys, speaking of Andy's Girls, have you joined the AG Patreon? Number one way to support the pod. Get exclusive bonus episodes like a Satchel Spectacular I'm working on. With your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns about all things NJ and Summer House, so slide into my DMs on Instagram at Dame Galley. Please include your first name and town, including if you've sent me satchels before. No audio files, please. And let me know long form. Take up space. I love it. I love a 16-paragraph satchel intro to your Satchels of Gold. Again, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Cloran Ben-Simone. And they may be unpacked in a future episode on the AG page at patreon.com/andyscrolls. And again, follow me on Instagram and allegedly threads at Dame Galley. I feel like I'm about to take off an airplane. I feel like I'm about to take a flight. I'm into it.
That's an airplane noise.
Listen, Dylan Hafer, a pleasure, a thrill. Thanks so much for this.
Thank you.
Wonderful afternoon in a balmy and moderate temperature outside here in New York City. It's about 1,800 degrees today.
Mm-hmm.
But this recording session was a lift.
It was very chill.
A very chill. A cool breeze has come through my heart. And I love that for both of us. Thanks to all of you for listening. And stay tuned for that second episode that I mentioned, because we do a little Summer House deep dive. And in the meantime, good night and good luck. So I'm going to end it there. Thanks for listening, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.